Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, as you always are, here at LATalkRadio.com every Friday, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, here in beautiful Los Angeles and all over the world, wherever you're at. Thanks, guys, for listening. This is the place where, I help inspire you with amazing authors and philosophers, people who are New Age thinkers, physicists. People to help empower you with their self-help books. And today, what I'm going to do is a little self-help for you, because I've received a lot of questions on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com from a lot of you guys. And I thank you so much for reaching out. And I just want to say that, you know, I'm not your therapist, because I don't do therapy online, and we don't have any kind of a, you know, therapeutic relationship. But what I do is sort of generally give ideas and suggestions on how to handle certain things. So this is not your therapy. This is not all the names, by the way, are confidential. So I'll change the names. But I have let everybody know who's written me that I will be answering their particular questions. So today, and you can call in if you want, if you have any questions or comments, 323-203-0815. That's in Los Angeles area code, 323-203-0815. Or what you can do is just email me, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. If you have any questions or comments about what I'm talking about today and some of the answers that I'm giving, love it, like feedback, I'm into it, it's all good. So today what I'm doing is answering questions about certain dilemmas that are really common to a lot of people, a lot of the issues that I hear in my practice daily. Today, we're looking at, how to feel better now. From a lot of people I see who are working not only in entertainment, because here it's Los Angeles, Hollywood, West LA area, but, you know, they're overwhelmed because they're working 10 to 12 hours a day, 14, 15, or sleeping in their cars because they can't leave the production site or their office or whatever. It's just crazy, some of the work loads that a lot of people I see have. So I'm going to be helping someone find out how to feel better now, to take care of themselves and manage anxiety and all that. Just quick and dirty stuff we can think of right here in the studio on the couch. Also, we'll be talking about how to forgive someone who's really hurt you, whether it's a family member or in this situation here, I'm relating to a particular relationship that went bad. Someone got really hurt. And so I'm going to help this person learn how to forgive someone. It's kind of hard to do that when we're really devastated and find out some negative things. People have been lying to us, all that. So we'll be talking about that, as well as how to tell someone you're sorry. Okay, that is huge. People come in to see me and say, you know, I'm too proud to admit that I was wrong. It's like, yeah, most of us are, but you got to give it up and you got to own stuff, because you'll be respected a lot better if you own when you mess up. Just kind of think about it. If people are upset with you, or if you've said something that's hurtful or done something, you have to really think about it and not jump on defending yourself right away. And if you don't think you have done something wrong, you get to explain that as well. But you get to explain it. But what I'm doing is I'm helping you learn how to say your, like, little moments from movies, love story, Allie McGraw, said love never means having to say you're sorry. Huh? What? Of course you got to say you're sorry and apologize. You can't just, oh, I forgive you. You got to express yourself. So I never kind of got that with Ryan O'Neal and Allie McGraw. Never got, love means never having to say you're sorry. No. Anyway, it was cool at the time, I guess. But anyway, so we're going to talk about that. And also some tools for relationships, helping you out. And also cultivating self-compassion. Oh, boy, that's really important. How can we get off our own backs and be a little nicer to ourselves? Really? We all have that little voice coming from somewhere, mom, dad, bullies at school, whatever, growing up. And it's, you know, we have to say, yeah, okay, I beat myself up enough. Now move on. Find out what I learned from it. And I'm not going to do things like that again. And I'm going to take care of myself. But just let it go. Don't keep repeating it in your brain, ruminating. And so there you go. Having a little more self-compassion. How do we do those things? So let's get rocking here. So first thing we're going to deal with is how to feel better now. Everybody wants it now. Sometimes it's a process of growing. We can't just flip a switch in our brain. I feel better. Well, we do that. A lot of people do that, but it's involving, you know, drugs and chemicals, things like that. But alcohol, yada, yada, whatever. But let's talk about the healthy ways of making yourself feel better. So I have an email here from, I'm changing the name, Sonia, who asked me, can you give me some good tips on how to feel better now? I work in Los Angeles in production for an entertainment company. My work days can last up to 12 hours a day. I barely have time for myself because of my work schedule. I'm single and would like to meet someone for a relationship because I'm in my early 30s, but I don't even know how I would do that. I'm disappointed with the online dating scene. I'm always feeling stressed out. The weekends aren't long enough because I catch up with errands and sleep, and sometimes I work. So how can I manage my stress level and just feel better now? Okay. Thank you so much, Sonia. Wink, wink. I know who you really are. Thank you. Thank you for reaching out. Well, here's the thing. We've got to jump on a program right away and do a little more time management. See, what I'm hearing, you know, with a lot of companies who are especially high, you know, high jamming. I mean, it's just like major high beta consciousness, nonstop working, no lunch time, no break time, that kind of thing, especially in entertainment. And it seems like it's all fun and all that. And social media and all the networks. It's fun if you can meet some nice people. But the thing is it's really taxing on the brain. So we all need to lower it. We all need that time of relaxation. You guys know that I'm a big proponent of, you know, I'm not meditation. So by that, I mean just chilling the thoughts and giving your brain a break. So going into some kind of an alpha state, which is pre-sleep, or theta, which is kind of slipping on into sleep, the second stage. And just whatever it may be to calm your mind. Music, lovely music, music that makes you feel good and chill. You know, those audio things. Yeah, podcasts are great if you have, you listen to some wonderful people. Those kind of things. You got to exercise. So here it is. What we have to do is time management. I know, but I don't have any time. They make me, but you got to take time because first of all, in companies, you have to legally have breaks. Well, most of the time. So you get to have 2 15-minute breaks generally in a company and you get to have a lunch. Most companies in LA give you 45 minutes. Some production companies with people with whom I work give them half an hour. Yeah, but the show has to be on. Yeah, I get it. But so what you've got to do is make the best of that and give yourself some time management. You know, you've got to take care of yourself on the weekends. I know it's hard to get up even earlier. Some people get up at 5:30 in the morning to either go to the gym or take a run or whatever. You got to try to do that if you can, but you cannot operate if you're sleep deprived. So you've got to get better sleep. That's number one, because when we don't get enough REM stages, which is it's not the deepest stage, but it's kind of, they say, working out issues. So there's four stages, you know. Yeah, there's alpha, theta, and delta, and then you have the REM stage, which really gets you into a good sleeping pattern. So it helps you work out stuff. That's why we dream. The brain is working out things. Bizarre places, things, people, but it's sorting out. This is kind of the computer sorting things out. So you got to get into delta stage. That's the deepest stage as well, because that is the time of repair with cells. That's when we start to restore if we have a immune issue or we have a cold or whatever. So better sleep. You have got to do that. You've got to get down earlier. Don't eat late. Try to snack at work earlier if you can. You've got to eat healthier. Carbs really mess us up a lot. Our gut needs to recognize what it's eating so it can, you know, help our brains work better. So, you know, try to eat healthy. You don't have to be a fanatic or a vegan or any of that. So try to get your sleep thing down. Don't make excuses, all right? Find out, you know, there's all this stuff on sleep hygiene. If your brain's going 100 miles an hour when you're from work and you're just like, oh my God, I let it go. You know, do some sleep hygiene. Google that. It's cool. Yeah. Relaxing music, breathing, muscle relaxation, all that stuff. Or go to a doctor and get some suggestions as to what might help you in terms of a medicine. I'm not a big pill pusher. I'm not. I'm, you know. But sometimes we need a little help from our doctors and medicine friends. So you got to get more sleep. Okay. All right, Sonia. You have to eat healthier. And you have to kind of, a lot of people are doing that fasting diet. I fasted for 16 hours today. Okay, good for you. You're losing weight, but you have to have nutrition to fuel the cell growth and restructuring and all that stuff. So I would say you've got to have fuel as well. Try to find exercise. Don't kill yourself. A little bit each day helps. If you have breaks at work, get the heck out of the office and walk around the block. Walk down the street, whatever. Straight, 15 minutes, twice a day. That's it. You're good. If you can do that. Also, find things that bring you joy on the weekends besides errands. I don't know about you, but when I'm working a full week, I don't get much joy from doing the laundry on Saturday. But I do. I plug in my headphones and listen to Dr. Joe Dispenza or Greg Braden or, you know, those guys. That I'm getting inspiration. So that's what I do. But, and I go to yoga. I force myself. I take walks. I live up in the mountains. Yep, with the hippies. It's cool. It's really fun. So I take walks doing that. And, you know, just you've got to do things that bring you a little bit of joy and get your brain out of crazy, nonstop high beta thought. You got to get into tranquil, peaceful moments, or you're going to burn yourself out. You're going to get sick before you know it. Okay? So feel better now. So what do you do? Here's some ideas. Ready? Breathing exercises. Breathe slow. Slow your heart rate. Lower your muscle tension. Close your eyes. Listen to some great music. 10 minutes even. Do that a day. Okay? Do some meditation. Similar stuff. You can also do yoga. That's cool. Everybody does yoga. Do it. You don't have to go to a really extensive, you know, high vibe class. You can go to, you know, kind of a beginner's class if you want. If your, you know, balance is a little off and you're not physically fit per se, they have yoga for everyone. Also, journaling's great for some people. Kind of writing down your feelings at the end of the day, and also kind of finding a perspective. They call it cognitive restructuring. In other words, if you're taking things personally, if you're, you know, upset at people during the day, that's probably because you're anxious and sleep deprived, and you're not eating enough or healthy enough. So you got to kind of find a perspective on maybe I'm overreacting. And maybe I should chill a little bit more. But all these things really help you to do that. So, you know, I would just say start doing one of these things. Something else that I really stress that's important is find some kind of spiritual guidance. I don't care if you have a religion that you're with, a relationship with a higher power or whatever you may have. That gives us, you have to have faith and hope. It's called positive thinking, positive feelings. So those really help you because those thoughts that are positive, that continue to fire together, wire together. And you build those thought patterns instead of the negative thought patterns. Oh my God, what if? The what if thought patterns. Make those go away, you know. So feel better now, Sonia. Relax yourself. Take your breaks. Listen to some great calming music that you can get into, dig, that makes you feel good. A little bit of meditation. Oh yeah, lighten up too. Laugh. Laugh a little more. Yeah, progressive. Muscle relaxation, yoga, a little bit of exercise is great. A lot of exercise is really great, but don't kill yourself. Writing down your feelings, journaling at night, just finding some perspective. And, you know, get more sleep, eat a little healthier. Be with people that make you happy, that bring you joy, of like-minded people. Don't just go out with people who are negative and you're sucking in all that negative stuff and or family members. Try to find peace within yourself. It's always great to go to group therapy or a therapist as well. So there you go, Sonia. Thank you so much for reaching out at straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. It's so nice to have you there. It's so nice to have you out there asking me questions. And you got to just manage your stress because it'll get to you. Mind and body connection is so strong. If you, you know, want to just go on YouTube, listen to some of those Dr. Joe Dispenza podcasts. It's all about body mind and how we make ourselves sick with our stress. Really good stuff. Everybody does that. A lot of new age, really high vibing people who can help us out with science. It's science. It's, you know, it's mind body science. And, you know, there's a lot of research done on that. So check it out. Okay. One of my favorite things too that I see in my practice. As you're listening to On the Couch with me, Dr. Michelle, we're moving on, is the subject of forgiveness. Oh, man. That's a biggie. We've all been hurt by whoever. You know, family members, parents, friends. And one of the most common things that I hear is men and women being hurt in relationships. Relationships are a little sketchy, I hear about, in Los Angeles. You know, it's the town of beautiful people. Everybody's got to be cool and beautiful. Social media makes us feel kind of low in self-esteem. We try to present our best selves and how popular we are and how happy we are. And that's cool. But sometimes there's some shallowness involved in that. We get excited about relationships that really aren't what we think they are, or we pick the wrong person. We don't look at signs that we see where this person might be a little flaky or self-absorbed. Or they're just, you know, guys out there, sometimes women who just don't want to get serious, but they get really serious and pretend to be into someone and then they're gone. Then they pull back or whatever. And this is exactly the case. With Jen. I'm reading her thing. This is not her real name, by the way. Thank you, Jen, for writing me. So here we go. Yeah, I hear this a lot. How can I forgive someone who really hurt me badly? Huh? Wow. We've all experienced that, haven't we? It's been about a year ago, and I still get these feelings of sadness, betrayal, and feeling undesirable. About a year ago, I was dating this guy who I really liked for about 8 months. He was great-looking, funny, charismatic. I thought that maybe he was the one. He checked all the boxes. Then one day, I got a call from my friend at work, who he, by the way, never met. She's on the dating site Match.com, and she contacts me and says, "Hey, what's the dealio? I matched with this guy and I thought he was your boyfriend. He's out there looking for women. And apparently he reached out to her. And she read to me what he said to her. And of course, my friend at work ignored this email and just kind of trashed him. You know, you can blow people away on the dating website. Just make them go away. So that anyway, she said, I've never been so hurt. I decided to keep dating him because I was holding out hope just that he was, you know, maybe dipping his toe in social media. Then he slowly started telling me that he was busier at work. And he started to pull back on texting and calling and asking me out as much. I found out that he was actively seeking other women, not only because of my friend at work, but, and this one, this is called karma, instant karma with this guy. The universe kind of puts things in our way. It's like, what the, huh? Anyway, she says, one night, me and my friends went to a restaurant bar and we're sitting at a table when coincidentally, this guy I was dating for 8 months walks in with another woman holding hands. Now, he told me he was in San Francisco on a work trip that weekend. I calmly made eye contact with him to let him know that I saw him and he looked like a ghost. When the girl went to the bathroom that he was with, I walked up to him and calmly said, you're a liar and you're a cheater. Don't ever contact me again. And I walked back with my girlfriend, proceeded to have too much to drink. But I'm still hurt and I cannot forgive him. So apparently, I don't know what has happened since then and I know you're really hurt. And who, I mean, come on. Who likes being lied to? Get with it, folks. You know, if you want to hit him and quit him, then just tell him that I'm into relationships that are kind of fleeting. Nobody's going to be with you if you say that at the beginning. But I mean, if you know where the relationship stands, and some people want to hang on to you for a long time because they enjoy being with you and they enjoy the sex, but they're not really ready to settle down. You got to find the signs and you've got to kind of figure it out. But sometimes we don't and we have a shocking experience like Jen did. But so here's the deal. Forgiving people, this has been a while, you said. Let's see. How long's it been? A year ago. Okay. Oh, come on, honey. You got to get it out of there so you can... Oh, if we're still hanging on to resentment and we can't forgive someone, we don't have to forget... But if we can't let it go, I'm all about what we're presenting out there and how other people read us. So if you're out there trying to meet people, you're still hanging on to this old energy of this person who lied to you. You got to let it go. You're not going to start attracting or giving out the vibe that you're going to give out a desperate vibe. You see, you're going to give it out that vibe that I really want to prove that I'm worthy. So you got to let go of it. So forgiving us allows us to let go of the pain in the past, right? So when you've made the decision to just say, I'm done. I can't hang on to this. It does. You have to say to yourself, does this serve me? Is this serving me? Perseverating on what an a-hole this person was, right? You got to make room for good things to come into your life, okay? So whether you've experienced rejection, ridicule, deception, abuse, you got to clear out the mental clutter that comes from holding on to grudges and resentments. It's only messing you up. All right, Jen? It's only it's choking your brain because you're hanging on to it. Let it go. You've learned from it. Try to read about signs that show you that someone may not be who they say they are. Okay, because the person that you hurt the most by holding on to resentment and anger, constantly replaying painful scenarios in your head and, you know, reliving hurtful memories, flashbulb moments that are not too happy, as we call them, you're hurting yourself. Okay, so how do you forgive someone? How do you let it go? All right. got to rethink your definition of forgiveness, first of all. Because many of us think that the forgiveness idea is about condoning what the other person did. Not. Or giving in. No. Or turning the other cheek. No. Pretending that nothing's happened or that it really wasn't such a big deal. Or admitting that your anger is not justified or that you're not entitled to it. Or the other thing is forcing yourself to get along with somebody who you feel may hurt you again. And this happens a lot in family issues because when someone really hurts us in a family, sibling or parent or something like that, and it's really mean what they've done, or friends, a lot of family pressure says, oh, just try to get along. It's really hard to force ourselves. Something. So that's not what forgiveness is, all these things. Okay? Try changing your definition of forgiveness to things like it's about freeing up and putting to better use the energy that's being consumed by holding on to grudges, harboring resentments, nursing old wounds. How is this serving me by playing over and over and over the moment that my girlfriend told me that he reached out to her online and I had just slept with him the weekend before? Ouch! Okay. It's just let it go. This person was not worthy of you. Okay, Jen? Not worthy of you. Now, forgiveness is about moving on. Moving on. It's about choosing serenity and happiness over righteousness, anger. He screwed me over. What an a-hole. That's great. The anger part's great for a while. You got to, and all your friends, family members who were on your side, you know, they go, what a jerk, what a liar, what a creep. And I'm sure your friend at work did that because she blew him off when he tried to match with her online. Yeah. But then you get past that. Sure, anger is important. How dare he? But it's, you got to choose serenity and happiness over righteous anger. Okay? And it's refusing to play those past hurts or flashbulb moments that are painful in your mind over and over again, like a broken record. Okay? You've got to realize that anger and resentment don't serve you anymore. And it's about giving yourself a clean slate. So what you have to do is you have to say, you know what? I'm no longer going to give this person the power over me to make me feel bad. And I know that when I give it up, when I have those thoughts or those flashbulb moments of the pain, I'm going to replace it with something else in my mind, cognitive behavioral therapy. I'm going to replace it with visualizing myself in a great gathering with a bunch of people, and I'm talking to all these new possible partners. I'm going to visualize myself looking my best and being out. I'm going to visualize myself, and I can't focus in on the face right now, but having wonderful dinners or having moments of really connecting with someone who I deserve. So when you have the negative thought about this creep who hurt you, say, whoop, I'm doing it again. Being mindful of your thoughts and saying, wait, nope, it's making me tense. My body's getting tense. I'm getting upset. Be aware of it and say, nope, I'm going back to my happy time, my fun, imaginary new group of guys I'm meeting or a guy or whatever it is, Jen, that you want to think about. You've got to learn to replace the negative with the more positive thoughts. And the more you do it, through repetition and rehearsal, the easier it will be to get you back into happy, positive, forward thinking. That was the past. Let it go. You got to ask yourself, Jen, what did I learn from that? What did I learn from that? Well, I learned there are people out there who really aren't as honest as they come off to be. Okay, cool, good. Well, I don't trust myself anymore because I don't know how to spot somebody who's bad or good. Take your time. Get to know somebody. Look for the red flags. Little narcissism? A little too charming? Yeah, that's what I'm getting here from how you describe this person. So just forgive and release yourself from the hurt. Forgive yourself. Right? Forgive yourself. Clear your head of the emotional poison that you've been doing. Be true to you. You know, hey, you know what else, Jen? You know what's really cool sometimes is to listen to those YouTube, you know, the audio stuff on Ho'oponopono. Huh? What did she say? God bless you. It's a Hawaiian sort of affirmation technique. Yeah, duh. It's Hawaiian. Yeah, Ho'oponopono. There's a lady named Sandra Rojas who has an amazing one, and it's about forgiving yourself first and forgiving others. Oh, there's a really great book too, by the way. It's written by Sydney Simon and Suzanne Simon, and it's called Forgiveness: How to Make Peace with Your Past and Get On with Your Life. Check that one out too, because it's a really, really good book. Helps you out. Makes you feel better about yourself. Got to take care of yourself first, as I always say, and then you'll be good for others. That's right. You're on the couch here with Dr. Michelle, and I'm helping you out with some of your issues. You guys wrote me on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and I thank you so much. I really appreciate it, and I'm answering some general questions, and I've contacted y'all who wrote me that I'm going to be helping you out today, so thank you guys for reaching out. And, yeah, this one's a really interesting one. This is from Sydney. And I think it's a woman, I guess. Okay, yeah, because she refers to he. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. So she says, hey, Doc, I admit that I have resentments for my long-term partner who I've lived with for 2 years. He has a habit of being sarcastic to everyone. He thinks it's funny, but a lot of times it hurts me. Here's a typical situation. We were at dinner with our friends last weekend, and he was telling them how scattered and unorganized I am at home. He also said something about how I must have ADD, which I don't, because he says I'm so spacey a lot of the time. Oh, so she says, when we got home, I lit into him and yelled at him that he's a sarcastic asshole and I can't live with someone who's constantly putting me down in front of other people. I don't blame you, Sydney. And all he said was, I'm sorry, quote, oh, this is interesting. I'm sorry you responded so badly to what I said. I was just kidding. And you're a little too sensitive. Okay. So he said that he pulled the old, I'm sorry you responded so badly to what I said. So he didn't own it. So she says, please help him understand how to apologize in a healthy way. Otherwise, I'm really thinking about leaving him. Whoa. No, that's heavy. Woo. No, that's really tough. And she put in parentheses, I told him to listen to you today because you'd be telling him this. Okay, whoever he is, I hope you're listening to. You know, to me, the thing about sarcasm is, you know, some of my favorite comedians are sarcastic. I mean, right? But there's a line. And sometimes sarcasm is like, I was only joking. Haha, not really. That's what that means. It's like a way people can passively aggressively get jabs at you when they don't have the chutzpah to come out and say, you know, I'm really upset with you because you're really scattered at home. And, you know, can you be a little more organized, or can we get someone to help us organize, or, you know, let's work together on whatever it may be. You got to learn how to talk to someone compassionately and kindly and saying, I would love it if we could do together, whatever, instead of sarcasm, because that is passive aggressive. Now, again, some people who are sarcastic are hilarious. You know, there's a line. There's a fine line. So what is the line? Well, let's figure it out together. Okay, Sydney and your guy, who hopefully is listening. Here's the thing. But we're going to go down the line. What I'm going to give you is... 5 different kinds of I'm sorry to choose from. And this is in an ascending order of sincerity. So guess which is the most effective that I'm going to give you. It's number 5. See if you can identify yourself, boyfriend of Sydney, or anyone out there who tries to say I'm sorry. All right. So here's the different levels of saying I'm sorry. And this is number one is, of course, what your boyfriend said, Sydney. I'm sorry you chose to respond so badly to what I did or said. This is really not an I'm sorry at all, because it says that you think I was the one at fault. Right? In other words, it's your fault, Sydney, for responding so badly at his sarcasm. So that's not cool, because he's not owning it. Okay. Number two of I'm sorry is, I'm sorry you're upset. Okay, that's a little better. Okay, that's cool. So it acknowledges that, you know, someone has some regret, but it might also mean that someone's unhappy, you know, with the other person because they're upset with you. So it's more defensive than apologetic. So I'm sorry you're upset. It's a little more defensive, right? You've heard people say that to you before. All right. Or you said it. Okay. So we're working on learning how to say I'm sorry. Sydney's boyfriend here. By the way, I'm not your therapist. I'm just giving ideas, suggestions on what I know. Number three. Ascending an order of sincerity. Here we go. Number three. I'm sorry I said that and it came off sarcastic. Now we're starting to cook a little bit. Here we go. All right. You've given an apology about your own words or actions, but you're not quite acknowledging your role in the unpleasant experience. It's a good start. So, okay, good start. Work on it. I'm sorry I said that, whatever it is. Number four, we're getting there. We're getting to sincerity here. It's working. We're getting closer. This is even better. Write it down. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. It's all in the way we say things, right? In tone of voice. Of course. So if you have someone that says, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Okay, we're almost there. We're getting there. You're acknowledging the cause and effect of the situation. By saying it that way, you agree that you did something and that they reacted with hurt feelings. So you can, you know, they can start to heal a little bit. But you won't go all the way towards kind of reconnecting, because your sorry is still a little limited. So here's the deal. Here's the way to say I'm sorry. Okay? Here's the way to do it. Somebody's really hurt. You said something, even if you don't quite understand, but you kind of know that you jabbed him. Or you kind of know you hurt him, and you think about it. You say, I'm sorry. That's it. Simple, clear, direct. Okay? I'm so sorry. I screwed up. I'm so really going to think about what I said, and I'm not going to do that again. And if I do, you got to bust me on it. You say, there you go again. You just hurt me. You say, I'm so sorry. I really am going to work on not doing that again. I hear you. That's it. Okay? Because if you want to like establish or maintain trust and connection, you need to quickly repair a relationship rupture, as I call it. You need to repair it right away. You need to say, whoa, I'm sorry. Instead, our natural kind of reaction is to be defensive and put it on other people. Well, you know. So when we're offended, you know, our bond is either stretched or severed. But if you sincerely and quickly apologize, we kind of feel our heart relax and we can more easily forgive and forget the insult that we felt. It's the other person is really hearing you and listening to you and going, wow, that was kind of weird what I said. And then we have to actually look at our own stuff. I was kind of defensive, Sydney's boyfriend. You know, you got to take a look sometimes at being a little too sarcastic to people. Yeah. So that's what I would do, is I would just really kind of tweak that a little bit when your partner says you're being too sarcastic. Find out more about sarcasm and what that really means. Again, many of us have been raised in homes where one or both of our parents or relatives are sarcastic. Because it's funny. They think it's funny. But again, some of my favorite comedians or sarcastic, but it's just, it's that line of, are you being really passive aggressive and trying to give a message to your friend, partner, family member because you don't have whatever it takes to the cojones to say, you're doing this and it's making me upset? Think about that and read about sarcasm and how to just kind of tweak that a little bit. All right. This is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch with me today as I'm answering your questions that you wrote me on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Some great questions, guys. Thank you so much. This is really super. Here, this is about better communication, and I talk about this all the time because we get really defensive when we argue and all that stuff. So this is kind of cleaning it up with someone right away, how to talk better. And this is like communication 101. But I get people come in into my office and they just can't stop trying to prove that they're right. They can't give it up and communicate because there's some old crud hanging around where they have to defend that they're not that bad. A lot of it has to do with low self-esteem, that whoever made us feel that way. So we have to always defend ourselves and our actions and whatever. You got to own it, just like saying I'm sorry and really meaning it. Really got to do it. Okay, so this is from James, and I thank you so much for emailing me. And this is basically about how to have a decent communication. It's really 101 basics. So here we go. James says, my partner and I have been through couples therapy for several months. But she always makes it out like it's all my fault in our sessions. I am guilty of arguing a lot with her, and I'm trying to prove myself. But that's when she starts yelling at me. I feel that I have to always defend myself. Could you suggest some things that I can do to help us communicate better? Well, what I would do is in your couples therapy, is I would say to your therapist, give me some steps to communicate better. And every therapist who does couples therapy I know has lots of information on that they can send you for you to read online or printouts. I do. I have a lot of stuff. But, you know, I'll just give you some basics about arguing, about how to work through a discussion when you're disagreeing, some of the best ways to communicate. Simple. Just think about it, James. And you both yell. You both argue. You're owning it here. But you feel like it's always your fault because your partner always says that it's you've done all this stuff. This is what I'm getting. Okay. So she starts yelling at you. And you always have to defend yourself. Okay, here we go. So what do you do when you have a disagreement? What do you do when you're upset? And James, you can tell your partner and have her listen, him listen, whatever. You said her, so that's cool. Listen to the show because all of my shows are up in the archives as soon as we get off the air. And this will be up on iTunes podcasts on the couch for free. This weekend, you can listen to that, download it, or right here on LA Talk Radio on my webpage on the couch. It will be up in the archives immediately when we get off the air if you missed this a little bit. So here we go. Here we go, James. Okay, how to communicate a little bit better. And you all know this. Come on. You've got to stop yourself from thinking, just reacting. You got to stop doing that. You got to have more impulse control to not try to defend yourself immediately. When somebody says something hurtful or is arguing with you, and it doesn't mean they're right or they're wrong, but you got to just listen to them. So when you're upset with someone, instead of using you messages, you really messed up, you are so angry a lot, you yell too much. Okay. You know what I'm going to say. Use your sentences starting with I. I feel so frustrated and picked on and hurt when you yell at me. Okay? Because when you say that, it's less accusatory. It sparks less defensiveness. And it helps the other person understand your point of view rather than feeling like attacked. Or, you know, So I feel sad when you, or I'm taking you, that you're saying that I'm not good enough. Use iMessages and don't name call. Come on, guys. You are such an a-hole when you do that. You made me feel, I feel sad. Because what that does is it's not pinning it on the other person. You're taking responsibility for your feelings. Doesn't mean that, hey, they're not wrong. Okay. Oh, always look for a compromise, number two. Because instead of trying to win an argument, you got to look for solutions that meet everybody's needs. Either through compromise, that's one of my faves. What are you willing to give? How far are you willing to go to compromise? Right? Find a new solution that gives you both what you want most. Yeah? And because this focus of some kind of compromise is much more effective than one person getting what they want and the other person feeling resentful. So healthy communication, it involves finding a resolution that both sides can be happy with. So what I always have people do is write down or text themselves or notes, email themselves, whatever it is. What certain kind of conditions or reactions or something that they must have? What are deal breakers? What are things that they must have in whatever the situation is when it comes to living, honesty? What are things they need in that person or in a relationship? What do they need? And what are things on the next column that I'm willing to sort of let go of and maybe compromise on? Okay, both of you guys need to do that. And then you can come to some kind of compromise. Not everybody's going to feel great all the time, but compromise means I'm willing to hear you and I'm willing to be fair. So always look for compromise. Instead of trying to win, you know, I got my way on this one. The other person doesn't care that much. Cool. But you have to also know that, you know, you're flexible. And also when you're arguing, it's not a contest. God, I hear this all the time. Well, I won that one. Checkmate. We're not playing a game here. We're trying to have a nice open discussion so we can get each other. And sometimes we can't. That's cool. Also, by the way, James, sometimes we need to take a timeout, right? Because tempers get really heated. It's just too hard to continue a discussion without becoming an argument or a fight. Then you said your partner yells at you. So if you feel yourself or your partner starting to get too angry, you know, to be constructive or showing some, you know, positive patterns, it's okay to take a break from the discussion until you both cool off. Because, you know, good communication a lot of times says, I know how to take a break or when to take a break because it's going to get nasty. You know, we go to different levels. We escalate. And then we start name calling and using the you words, which I told you not to do. So take some time out. Say, you know what, this is going to get weird and hairy and I'm so pissed and I'm charged up and my, you know, adrenaline's going and those endorphins are kicking, not the good ones. And I'm really mad and I'm going to go off and I'm going to say something that I really am going to regret. So take a time out. Get the hell out of the room. Go into another room. Say, excuse me, I need to think about this and I need to cool down. Take a walk. Yeah. Don't take a drive when you're pissed off. Please. But just get away from the heating argument. Think about what you're saying. Write down some ideas of how you'd like to express yourself. This is what I'm trying to say to you. Use those I statements. I'm feeling hurt when you know, maybe we can compromise in some way, but you got to think about it. So taking time out gets that energy away from you, that heated, crazy energy. Okay. And don't give up. Don't give up. Well, taking a break from the discussion is sometimes a good idea. Always come back to it. All right? Because if you both approach a situation of, you know, arguing with a constructive, a little more mellow attitude, a little more mutual respect, a little more willingness to see the other person's point of view, then you're going to make progress towards both of you guys trying to resolve a conflict. Right? unless you decide it's time to give up on the relationship because it's just not happening and you're banging your head into the wall. But please don't give up on communication. Just some quick and dirty ideas for you there. And I thank you so much for emailing me and asking me that question, James. And I hope I helped you guys out today a little bit. Wow, time has gone so fast. Thank you for emailing me. And I hope, you know, I can give you some ideas. Of course, I'm not your therapist. I'm just giving suggestions, you know, some helpful hints. And thank you for being on the couch as well. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. And you'll be great for others. Okay, next week, an amazing author is going to be talking about Death is But a Dream. A lot of out-of-body experiences reported for many people. I know you guys go, woohoo, some more crazy stuff from Dr. Michelle, but not really. It's some scientific stuff involved as well, so we're going to talk about that. I want to also thank my musicians that opened and closed my show. Yeah, it's Capital Sun. The song's called Spark. Have a great week, guys. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye now. It's Dr. Michelle.